Cody, could we start that video?
Hey, something's not right here. This feels a little creepy. They're not thinking straight. A hamburger that sits around in a warming tray? You'll end up all dry. Why? When I can get fresh beef sizzling straight off the grill.
A burger should sizzle off the grill. Made not just in case someone decides to order it, but made specifically. Because I walked in and said, I want a hot, juicy hamburger, please. And I want it to sizzle. Yeah! Sizzle! Sizzle!
I hope you had lunch before you saw that. But as I was preparing for the message this evening, I've been going through my social media feeds. I've been going through Instagram. I've been going through, let me not reveal myself, I'll cap it at Facebook. And as I was going through them, I've been exposed to a lot of things that is just been going wrong about our generation. As I watched that video, it kind of paints the picture of what's happening today. Everyone is running into this big hole, and there's nobody who stops, like the guy in the red hair, and says, but hold on a minute, this is not essentially the truth. And unfortunately, the reality of life is that that hole that everyone is running to could essentially be eternal damnation at the end of time. So as I've been going through my social media feeds and just even having conversations with a few people of our generation, it's just been stirred in my heart about this passage here in Judges chapter 2. So before I read, please pray with me. Father, we just thank you for just how good you are to us. Thank you, Lord, for the revelation of your Son who revealed God to man. Thank you for your word, which is ever so true, which is inerrant, and which is authoritative over our lives. Father, as we dive in, I pray, Lord, that you would just soften our hearts and help us, Lord, to be receptive to the truths that we receive in your word. And God, if there's anything, Lord, that we're challenged by, Lord, help us, Lord, to make right what we need to make right. I pray for myself, who stands here as your mouthpiece. I pray, Lord, that I'd be a conduit of your grace, a conduit of your truth. I pray, God, that I'd be led by your Spirit. And Father, if there's anything or any motives that I might come up with that don't line up with your word, I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would hinder me from saying it and convict me from uttering those words. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. So our passage this evening is Judges chapter 2, and we'll start reading from verse 7. Judges chapter 2 from verse 7. It says, so the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Now Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old. And they buried him within the border of the inheritance of the Timnath-Heres and the mountains of Ephraim on the north side of the mountain at Geash. When all the generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose, them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel. Verse 11. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were around them. And they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. So he delivered them into the hands of the plunderers who despoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies all around, so they could no longer stand before their enemies. Verse 15. Wherever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for calamity, as the Lord had said and as the Lord had sworn to them, and they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges who delivered them out of the hand of those who plundered them, yet they would not listen to their judges, but they played the harlot with other gods, and they bowed down to them. They turned quickly from the way in which their fathers walked and obeyed the commandments of the Lord. They did not do so. And when the Lord raised up the judges for them, the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who oppressed them and arrest them. Verse 19. And it came to pass when the judges were dead, they then reverted and behaved more corruptly than their fathers by following other gods to serve them and bow down to them. They did not cease from their own doings nor from their stubborn way. I remember a moment in history when parents used to take their children to the store to buy what they would deem church clothes. I remember my first set of church clothes, which was really formal clothes, but we grew up calling it church clothes, because we knew every Saturday evening we knew that before bed we would have to iron our church clothes and shine our shoes and set the alarm for Sunday morning. Going to church was a norm for that generation. I remember how offended we would be when we were playing soccer outside and someone would play soccer with their church shoes. We would think, how on earth would you do such a thing? Or when ladies would play hopscotch or mkusha with their church dresses, they too would be offended. How can you play with your church clothes? What are you going to wear on Sunday? I remember a time in history when we swore in front of our friends and they would be so shocked that we said a swear word, and they threatened to tell our parents, who would spank us to come right. I remember a moment when we would see a simple kissing scene on TV and we'd just get all awkward and laugh at how yucky that was. I remember moments in time when we knew that breaking one of our parents' 3,221 commandments, we would be spanked. Yes, I counted all of them. We would be spanked. We knew it was coming. We dreaded the spanking. But we knew it was for our correction. I remember moments in time, well, it's probably still the same today, when people were afraid of the church. The fear of God's judgment was real, as though he would strike them down with lightning for just uttering a lie in the church. You see, this is what was happening at the times of Joshua. In verse 7, it says, so the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he has done in Israel. You see, the people here were a people who served God. The people who were here were the people who walked with Joshua as they crossed over the Jordan River, and as the Lord had led them out of Egypt into the promised land, they survived that whole wilderness debacle, and now they've made it into the land of milk and honey. They served God and they loved him. This was a generation that built up altars to God for his faithfulness, and they thanked him for all that he did for them. It was a generation that was sensitive to sin and the possibility of sin polluting them. This was a generation that the Lord, when he saw them, they were surely his mouthpiece. Holiness was their standard of living. As I sat there this morning and Pastor Charles started preaching, I almost stood up and asked for copyright laws. Because a lot of what I'm talking about today, he mentioned this morning. But the nation here, as the Lord had led them out of Egypt, holiness was clearly number one priority for them. We heard last week from Pastor John Thomas as he shared many testimonies of his time as a youngster, and he shared how everyone who was a teen or a young adult just had a passion to serve God. He shared with us that if this was the 1960s, this room would be filled with people who just had a passion for God, either to serve Him in sharing the gospel or to serve Him just by living for Him. But the passion for God was evident. I've sat and held many conversations with a few older folks here in the church, and they too have shared stories with me on how people would just be zealous for God and God was just the priority in their lives. They share stories with me on how they've seen God doing a great work in and amongst them. These folk were like the generation here that was led by Joshua. These people had a sense of wonder for the Lord. Not only did the people serve God, but the people saw that the Lord did great and wonderful things. They had witnessed the Lord reveal Himself to the nations and to their leaders, Moses and others. They saw the Lord as they were walking through Mount Sinai, and as they were defeating all of these enemies, they witnessed the Lord stand for them. They saw the Lord actively work out the affairs of the nation. The beautiful thing is they witnessed Him answer their prayers right before them. When I read this, I was reminded of why I love going to Mozambique so much. There was this one story where, whilst we were on this mission trip to Mozambique, there was this youngster who was a Muslim. Well, he wasn't a really faithful Muslim, but he was a Muslim. And I remember as we would hold our sessions where we would worship the Lord and we would be sitting under the preaching of God's word, he wouldn't sing as we sang songs that had Jesus' name in it. There was one service where he got so mad that we're singing so many songs that are just filled with the gospel that he stood up and he walked out. As a group of counselors, we came together and we just decided, look, we're just gonna keep praying for this young man. Day after day, his heart, it seemed as though it was growing harder for God, but we didn't know what God was doing. When it hit Wednesday, I remember him coming back into the auditorium, and as we sang songs of worship, he sat through the whole service. And that evening, after much prayer for him and after much counseling with him, when we were singing songs that had the gospel in it and the gospel message was preached, he was brought to tears. We witnessed the Lord, His Spirit, break down the walls which were within Him that were hindering Him from accepting this beautiful message of the gospel, and that young man came to faith in Jesus Christ. I can say I've had the privilege to see the work of the Lord right before me. I'm sure in a room like this, there's many other testimonies of how God has come through for us, maybe in moments when you never thought about it. Or maybe we were that young man whose heart was hardened, but God broke down the barriers of our hearts and brought us to faith. We have witnessed the work of the Lord. Some of us could make the pass in being that generation of Joshua. But verse 10 to 13 is where the mess began. When all that generation had gathered to their fathers, another generation after them who did not know the Lord nor the work of the Lord which He had done for Israel arose. There came a generation that did not know God. A writer sums it up for us like this: by the time that an entirely new generation had grown up, one that had seen nothing of the wonders of God, that whether at Exodus or during the wilderness years or at the time of the entrance into the promised land, loyalty to the Lord dwindled away. Syncretism and paganism abounded. The people forsook the Lord God of their fathers, and they served Baals and various lords. What happens from verse 10 to verse 13, we see a nation that indulged in sin. When I look at the generation that's on the horizon today, I see a generation that is becoming more and more accustomed, more and more comfortable to living within sin. From verse 10, verse 11, verse 12, the writer here makes it known to us that this generation, things that were previously unnegotiable things with God became negotiable. Instead of resisting sin, they took up chairs and came to sit at the table of sin, and they partook of its fruit. There was no longer a distinction between that which is light and that which is darkness. It didn't end there. They sought and served foreign gods. An author says it so nice. He says, "Be astonished, O heavens, at this, and wonder, O earth. Hath a nation, such a nation, so well fed, so well taught, changed its God, such a God of infinite power, unspotted purity, inexhaustible goodness, and so very jealous of a competitor for stocks and stones that could neither do good or evil." This was a generation that was formerly led by God, that was formerly backed by God. These are now a people who forsook God and are chasing after idols. Idols that they have made with their own hands. They were entirely devoted to the world, so intent upon the business of it, or so indulged of the flesh in ease and luxury, that they never minded the true God and His holy religion. Sounds familiar? And so were easily drawn aside to false gods and their abominable superstitions. They bought the philosophies sold at the table of sin. This was the reality of this generation. They were indifferent, they were apathetic to the things of God. Like a wife who indulges in numerous adulterous relationships, so was the nation in their acts of idolatry to God. They blended in so well with the idolatry and wickedness of the world that you couldn't tell the difference anymore. What is happening today? I have a few headlines that I want to read for you, just to share about the state of the generation that is on the rise today. It might get a bit PG, please forgive me. People are comfortable with walking into church and stealing from the church. Parents openly watch X-rated films with their children. If they don't see it here at home, they're gonna see it outside, so why don't you do it anyway? There's a famous VN that is trending, There's a famous voice note right now that is trending. And in this voice note, there's a young girl that's saying, "Please send me airtime or please buy me data. I will repay you with sex." Right now, black Twitter is something that is acceptable. It is okay to go and use your Twitter fingers and proud with so much pride, shame somebody else, ridicule somebody else. Videos recorded of girls openly talking about how they enjoy, how they delight in a male sexual organ. School kids are stabbing their teachers because they are reprimanded for breaking the rules. On the news recently, it was shared that a teacher was stabbed because he took a phone of a student who was using it during class. Parents are killed because they refuse to allow teenagers to attend a bash. Parents are killed because they refuse to give their children their bank card to go buy the latest sneakers or the latest iPhone. The list is endless. What I'm trying to bring to the table this evening is that we are a generation that's in trouble. If not us, the generation after us is in trouble. Because whether we like to admit it or not, but we're heading towards a godless state. A state that will openly and proudly reject God. This generation does not want rebuke or correction. This is seen as being judgmental. If you are born in 2000, please forgive me. Disclaimer. We look at this new phenomenon of Amma 2000. More and more of them are becoming comfortable with rejecting God. In fact, whenever we think of the term Amma 2000, we so automatically connect it to a certain lifestyle, a lifestyle that certainly rejects the reality of God. This is a generation that is surely in trouble. The pursuit of independence, the pursuit of the status quo of the day, and the quest of acceptance by society, from society, takes up much of the priority of our generation. In fact, in the last 45 years, the suicide rate has gone up by 60%. And it's increasing. Why? Because more and more people of our generation are chasing after the status quo, are chasing after the standards that are set by society that are here today and gone tomorrow, and because they never reach that sort of satisfaction and peace within their own hearts, they take their own lives. The pressures of this world and the crimes of our society are only leading to helplessness and hopelessness. The question that I want to put to the table is, what's going to happen in the year 2020? Well, it's like 2 years from now. What's going to happen in the year 2030, 2040, when technology has hit its peak? What's going to be of that generation? Today, more and more millennials and teens are becoming indifferent to the idea of God. The philosophies of this world have become more and more attractive, that they are appealing to us more than the truths that God offers within His words. More and more people of this generation are shunning religion completely and are chasing after that which society will set as standard. Unfortunately, this is creeping into the church, because within the church we have Christians today who are apathetic to the instructions of God's word. We have become so comfortable to the idea of if this was a fire and this was the fire of sin, we've become so comfortable that we no longer wanna flee from sin, but we'll bring our chairs and sit right at the foothold of sin, saying, "I will not burn." And we remove the cover and we get even closer to the fire of sin and we say, "I can handle it. I've been a Christian for 12 years." You see, this is a generation that's going to give birth to a generation which will no longer sit at the foothold of sin, but will actually grab the fires of sin and live in a life where God is rejected completely. Don't get me wrong. The fallen generation here is not because of the generation before them. But all things fell apart when they rejected God. All things fell apart when that which held their faith was not God, but man, their leaders, Joshua and the other elders. So apathy towards God is the result of being passionate to something or someone else. But the danger is that God will judge. Verse 14 and 15 says, "And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. So he delivered them into the hands of the plunderers who despoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies all around, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies." If I think about the character of who our God is, if I think about the nature of our God, I can say with much assurance that He does not sit in heaven right now and He is not pleased with the state of or where our generation is going. In fact, if we were here for the missions conference, the challenge was said clearly that we are to stand in the gap. We are to say, listen, God is real. You need to believe in God, because it is in Him where you will find true peace and satisfaction. We need to be that generation that's going to say, listen, enough is enough. The reality is, if things continue the way they are, it says here that God handed over the nation to their enemies. Calamity became a friend to the nation. The nation was in distress. So every time the nation went out to war, God handed them over to the enemy. Anytime the enemy would come in to challenge the nation, they would lose because God wouldn't fight for them. This was God disciplining them for their rejection of Him. The Lord will not let sin go unpunished, even today. The wrath of God will be poured out to those who do not know Him and live in habitual sin. believers will be chastened by the Lord for not reflecting His excellencies on this earth. Apathy will not be ignored by God. Following the patterns of this age will lead to a life of distress, continual calamity. When you think about calamity, you usually think about things falling apart around us. But it's not only that, internal calamity. The reason why so many of these people have taken their own lives is because calamity and distress has gripped their heart. So take heed. Take heed that you do not be caught in the vicious cycle of sin. In verse 16 and 17 it says, "Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges who delivered them out of the hand of those who plundered them. Yet they would not listen to their judges, but they played the harlot with other gods and bowed down to them. They turned quickly from the way in which their fathers walked in obeying the commandments of the Lord. They did not do so." The people clearly had it all wrong. The people, as they fell into this cycle where God will raise a judge. This judge would save them from the state that they were in. They would repent of their sin. They would come back to God. They would serve and worship God. But as soon as the judge died, they reverted back to their own ways. And when the scripture says that they reverted back to their own ways, it says they were worse than their fathers. Who are their fathers? That rebellious nation that was in the wilderness. They were even worse than that. You see, I think about the imagery of a toddler. A toddler generally hates greens. I still hate them today, but generally they hate greens. And what parents would do is they would try by all means to encourage them to have greens or green peas or any of the greens that are healthy for you. And as the child eats these greens, that the parent is the only one who knows that this thing that the child deems disgusting or is ill is actually good for their health. And what would happen is, as this child grows older, they then realize that, look, I mean, for me to become strong and for me to grow with my body, I actually need to have some veggies. You see, that's the reality of our faith. We are first led by our leaders to see that we need the Word of God. And as we go through the Word of God, there are some things that we're going to stumble upon here that are going to be hard for us to take in. But as they are difficult for us to take in, the person who leads us will help us understand that as we take it in, it is for our benefit and for us to change. And as we grow older, the point is for us to see that we ourselves need to keep feeding on the Word of God, that we would grow by it. You see, the problem here with the nation is that as soon as the leadership went away, the nation fell. As soon as Joshua died and the elders who were with him as they walked through and took over the promised land, as soon as they died, everything fell apart. They put their trust in man. So don't be caught out in that vicious cycle of sin and don't let your faith lie in a man. Think about this for a second. If Bushiri today had to abandon his mega church and just decide that he's going to retire and just leave all of this, what would happen to his flock? If Piper today had to fall into serious sin, what would happen to the faith of many Christians who hold him highly? If Pastor Charles left the church today, what would happen to you? If Pastor Luki or Yanni left Lord forbid, they passed on, will you still be standing firm on the promises of God? Where does your faith lie? If your faith is reliant on a man, if your faith is reliant on the person who is standing behind the pulpit, then chances are that when this person leaves, what happened in verse 10 could happen to you. You will then reject God and live a life indulging in sin. But if your trust is heavily embedded on the reality of God, if your trust is firm in Christ and what He has done for you, it doesn't matter who's in leadership. You will stand. You see, Paul writes in his letter, it was not him, it was not Barnabas, it was not Apollos who gave the increase, but it was Christ. It is Christ essentially who grows and grooms the Christian. Our faith should be fixed on Christ, our cornerstone. It should be led by the Spirit and set firm by the foundation of the Word in much discernment. We should be the generation of change. The reason why I spoke so much about a generation in trouble is I want us to say, oh, we got to wake up. We got to be the generation that says, listen, enough is enough. Change should and must begin with me. Verse 21. I will no longer drive out before them any of the nations which Joshua left when he died, so that through them I may test Israel, whether they will keep the ways of the Lord to walk in them as their fathers kept them or not. Will you pass this test? You see, I believe that today we read also in the New Testament that Christ has set tests for us. In fact, James goes on to say, count it all joy when you face these various trials. When you face these various tests that God will send your way, count it joy and stand firm in them. God wants to see if you will stand and keep the ways of the Lord. Be the generation of change. 2 Timothy 4 verse 2 to 3 says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, and with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming, and I believe the time is here. The time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. Stand for Christ even when it is not the popular option. Stand for Christ even if it means ridicule from people. See, it almost feels like I'm speaking to one generation, but it applies to the generations before us. In fact, the responsibility almost feels like it's greater because we are before you. We have seen your example before us. You too are to stand firm. You too are to stand firm in Christ that there will not be a generation that does not know God. As they lead us, our job is to lead others that there will not be another generation that does not know God. So be that generation of change. Bring to life a generation that will love God. This one is a bit awkward because a lot of us are still single, but develop a passion, even now. Develop the passion now for wanting to raise a generation of children that will love God. It starts now. Not when you're married, not when you are starting to have children. It starts today. Plant in your mind, in your prayers, develop that passion to say, God, I want to raise children who will serve you. Because the reality is, our children will be born 2030 or 2025. I hope probably sooner. You know what I mean, But the reality is this. The reality is they will be born in a generation where the rejection of God is common. Where people speaking about God becomes less and less of a reality. The burden will lie heavily on you as a parent, that you are to let them know of the reality of God. Share with your little children, if you already have children, if you're expecting children, share with them. If you have little siblings or little nieces and nephews and cousins, share with them the greatness of our Lord. Share with them the truths of God, that they will not be playing comfortably and they do not know God. Share with them. Stand in that gap. Instead of forwarding the erroneous tweets of Amma 2000, let us be the person who's not gonna forward the tweet, but we are gonna stop and say we are gonna be the voice of God. We are gonna share with everyone who has seen this why it is wrong. We're gonna share with the masses exactly what it is that God expects of us, even if we will be ridiculed for it. You see, when somebody forwarded that voice note to me, I was just like, this is actually more sad than it is funny. And I felt like the responsibility has to be on me. Somebody has to tell somebody that, look, this is wrong, and living a life like that will only lead to calamity, will only lead to more distress. Turn and come to Christ, because it is only in Jesus where you will find peace, apart from this that which you are doing. Lastly, break free from the apathetic or convenient Christianity. Break free from being comfortable in standing right in the warmth of sin. In the warmth of the fire of sin. Don't be that Christian who is bold enough to say, I can handle it. Flee whilst you can. Let us be the generation that will stand against that which is immoral and that which breaks the heart of our God. Be obedient to God even if it goes against the status quo. Be obedient to God even if it means giving up that which is pleasurable but costly to our faith. Be the generation that will spark a revival. Let's pray. Father, even as I bring this message to you, Lord, I don't know, I feel like I'm standing on a high pedestal because I'm very much in this. Father, the temptations are very much real for me as they are for everyone else in this room. Father, I pray for every generation that is represented in this room. Father, we are not exempt of the duty to stand in the gap for you. We are not exempt of the duty to lift up and magnify the name of Jesus where he is not known. Father, may we be the generation of change. Father, may we be so sensitive to sin, and Lord, may our hearts be hardened to the temptation that sin sets before us. Help us, God, to flee. Help us, God, to run when we still have the chance to. Help us, Father, to be the generation that just wants to stand for that which is right, even in the face of ridicule, even in the face of persecution, and Lord, even at the face of possible physical harm. Help us, Lord, be the generation that will just lift up the name of Jesus. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.